Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, we have a battle of Sauvignon Blancs as California takes on Chile, with the Californian being Joel Gott and the Chilean being Rafael Tirado Laberinto Sauvignon Blanc. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's great to be here. How are you doing tonight, Rob?
Doing fantastic. Also on the show is Judy Garland. I mean, Triple B. I'm sorry. Got confused.
Good evening. Do you want to tell the listeners why?
He's a bad man.
You're calling me Judy Garland?
Triple B is a little under the weather tonight, but I don't allow her
No days off.
No days off. So just like Judy Garland back in the 40s and 50s, sleeps for a little bit, then get her on pep pills, wake her up, wheel her out there, perform, damn it.
You know,
that's me.
When I arrived, I asked the Triple B if she was up for it, and she told this story, and I'm quite horrified. We're forming a union.
Yep.
And we know what the first grievance is going to be.
Well, Scott, we know you're never up for it. So
we should do an airing of grievances.
We can do that. We can. It's called Becky's Corner. But I have got out the wingback chair. The Triple B is relaxed in Becky's lounge, which is comfortable.
And you got me a nice sweatshirt.
Thank you. I did that. It's the least I could do. And I made you dinner tonight, which I do that all the time.
You were really judgmental about, but that's okay.
No, you know what? It was my fault. I knew that that portion that originally was too small. Mm-hmm. Well, it was oatmeal. She just ate oatmeal with fruit, but it was like a third of a cup.
You made me a packet of oatmeal.
No,
like the boys eat those, you know, instant packs of oatmeal.
That's
why I was sniffing it.
That's no more difficult than the packs. I mean, it's just it's 2.5 minutes in the morning.
For a long time, my sister used to eat oatmeal with a scoop of peanut butter, and she put like frozen berries in it. And this was basically that. When Rob mentioned it, it sounded so good, but he just made me like the portion Luke would eat.
Tapas portion. I didn't know what it would yield, but nevertheless. And those were previously frozen, but then thawed. And then
The frozen berries in the hot oatmeal is interesting, but I don't understand the peanut butter. It would seem like one of those wouldn't get to the right consistency because the peanut butter's got to melt a little bit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it does. It just makes it creamier, I think. You taste it a little bit, but it's not...
But I could see how you could overdo it, and then the berries wouldn't de-thaw.
These were already...
You mean thaw?
Oh.
Yeah. Defrost. Rob's mom had brought up some berries Friday night, and so they were already thawed out. But Rachel used to eat them like that, frozen.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Could be.
Was that something you tricked her and told her that that's the way everybody did it?
I don't think so. I think she came up with that herself. She ate that for like 10 years for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
For a long, long time. I've probably only had it 5 times in my life, and it was so good tonight.
Well, folks, on tonight's show, we have a battle brewing.
Previous, Battle Royale.
I know.
Frozen berries versus unfrozen berries in your oatmeal?
No. That's great, though. Previously, California destroyed the inferior New Zealand in the world of Sauvignon Blanc. Wouldn't you agree, Scott Mason?
It was absolute destruction.
It was a clubbing. We had to call it. Anyway, on tonight's show, California, since they're the champions of Sauvignon Blanc.
How insensitive.
I know.
Clubbing, referencing the clubbing of Baby Seals.
No, I was talking
about...
What
is wrong with you?
I was talking about techno music and taking Molly, you know, that kind of
clubbing. And this is blind, right? We're not going to know which one's which? Or are you going to tell us?
It's a little late for that. No, we're going to know.
Don't know what we're drinking.
That's true, you don't, but you're going to know. Okay. I'll let you know. Because the Mason wasn't blind. The Californians have not been blind. Okay. So, on tonight's show, the Californian... Well... Defender is one.
Well, before you get into it,
okay.
I think that the listeners should know that you have an anti-Sauvignon Blanc bias in your heart.
It's true. I am biased against anti-Sauvignon Blanc people.
You're anti it. And not only that, But you would never have one Sauvignon Blanc as the wine of the night. You make us drink two because you don't think one is worthy of an episode.
That's true.
But we've had several that have been worthy. Mm-hmm. The Maison was...
It was worthy.
It was definitely worthy.
Yeah. But it was two episodes.
I love Sauvignon Blanc. And Rob, I feel like it's like a... I don't even know what. But he just is anti it as much as I enjoy it.
Well, guess what? Tonight, after tonight, you might not so much. Because the first wine that we have going up for California is the Sauvignon Blanc by... Joel Gott. This is their 2019 California Sauvignon Blanc. Now, you might say, Joel Gott. Gee, what the fuck? I mean, why the hell would you
have Joel Gott? I was going to say, you also have a Joel Gott bias.
I mean, what the fuck? Well, this Joel Gott is unique, and the Triple B after a bit will articulate why this is unique, because they have money to spend on advertising. But Joel Gott is the challenger there.
It's unique because it's sold in Targets everywhere on the end cap.
It is.
I had to avoid it walking into the store.
Yeah, I know.
In Joel Gott's defense.
I hate Joel Gott.
I think there's a lot worse things than Joel Gott products.
There is. There's gonorrhea, typhoid fever, scurvy, falling into a industrial press. Those things are worse than Joel Gott. The second wine, though, from Chile, yeah, I know, is Rafael Tirado Laberinto, their Sauvignon Blanc. And this is from, where is this from here? Well, it's a single vineyard, actually, but it's Chile. From Mali, Chile. And both of these are on stainless steel, 100% stainless steel, 100% Sauvignon Blanc. So they're pretty much the same. They're both priced similarly. The Laberinto is about $18. The Joel Gott's about $13. So.
And are they both found everywhere?
No. Joel Gott, yes. Laberinto, wine.com. You can buy it right now.
But go if you're listening, go ahead and buy it now because it'll be gone after this episode.
I know. And it's the second of the two because I think it's better than the first. But nevertheless, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be back, right back with this battle royale of Sauvignon Blanc, which is very exciting for you, here on The Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love The Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about The Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on The Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, first is the Joel Gott Sauvignon Blanc. They were having a discussion off the air, and I said, well, not to cut you off, but this is white wine. It gets warm, so what the fuck? Stupid-ass wine. Anyway,
Tell us
how you really feel.
I know. 100%.
I don't know why it gets a knock against it, because it is served chilled.
It's white. It's Californian, obviously, from Napa. I know. Napa, Sonoma, Monterey, Santa Barbara, and Lake County. Most of those are places we don't really like, but that's okay. That's okay. We're going to go over to the Triple B, who has some more information about this.
But Monterey is appropriate for Sauvignon Blanc. We normally don't care for Monterey, but
Monterey
for this varietal,
good for surfing.
And which part do you want me to read?
70s rock concerts.
The reviews, actually.
Oh, the reviews.
Yes. Read the top thing first. That would illuminate why this wine is unique as a Joel Gott product.
Oh, is this why we picked it up?
Yes. Okay. Oh, yes.
So this got, this was ranked number 21, Wine Spectator Top 100 of 2020.
Bought and paid for. Sorry. I got something in my throat.
Of the main list?
Yes.
Yeah, it says top 100. It doesn't say.
Not of Best Buys.
No.
Yeah.
It says top 100. Yeah.
But they said that this has aromas of pineapple, mango, and peach with citrus notes. On the palate, the wine opens with ripe tropical fruit flavors, followed by crisp, refreshing acidity on the mid-palate and a long, clean, balanced finish. That sounds lovely.
It does. I hope it's close to that.
Me too. Yeah. Are you ready for this zinger of a review?
Yeah.
The tasting panel, they gave it a 92.
They had a quorum. Yeah.
What was the score on Wine Spectator again?
92.
Yeah. So, well, I haven't read the Wine Spectator review. That was just like the little blurb about getting number 21.
It would change between the two times that they tasted it.
So what I think is funny, though, is, I mean, we've talked about this at length before, when they pick grapes from vineyards all over California and try to upsell it like it's done.
Yeah, like it's something you should do.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Like it's a accolade. So vineyards across California influence this stunning white. From Monterey, Lake, Napa, and Sonoma counties to the warm, happy canyon AVA of Santa Barbara, all have a hand in its citrus notes. Don't they make it sound like they did that to make
think
it
of all the mileage we had to accrue to do this.
Minerality, vibrancy, and depth of character. Mm-hmm. Tropical aromas of kiwi meld with the
varietally
iconic scent of white grapefruit as jasmine weaves through sweet notes of pine nuts. Flavors of ripe pineapple and lemon custard impart texture, while acidity contributes to a dignified presence. 92.
That was from the tasting panel? They've never written that much their entire lives. They must have said, Mom said, my teacher said there's a 300-word minimum.
No, this is somebody that's like working on their PhD, and they've learned how to write extra words. When you need something to be 100 words, that's what this is.
Yeah, that's true.
Pine nuts?
Pine nuts. Mm-hmm. Or these nuts.
And then Wine Spectator's review, 92. The lemon blossom, Asian pear, lime sherbet, and candied orange peel notes are pure, fragrant, silky smooth, and juicy, with intensity and a lift of freshness on the finish from a lemon verbena accent. Drink now, tasted twice, with consistent notes.
Well, see, that's something the Spectator says sometimes when they know you won't believe what they wrote. They do it for ultra-low reviews and for ones that they're like,
double-check
92 for Joel Gott? No, that's true. That happens. So that says to you right there, something is amiss.
Is there anything similar in those reviews, what they discuss the wine portrays, what it exhibits?
It's white.
Lemon, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, I was going to say maybe lemon.
It's effervescent. Look at the tiny bubbles. That's a 92 right there.
No, because one of them, originally Wine Spectator said pineapple, mango, peach. Then later they said blossom, pear, lime, sherbet, and candied orange peel.
Mm. Well,
and then I don't even know what the tasting panel said because it was like very long.
Well, I will say in the glass, it does have a nice purity to it, although there is a little bit of effervescence there.
Yeah, there is.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, but it's a very, very light yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some sugar particulate?
Something is a little bit, yeah. A little bit of particulate. On the nose, though. The nose is quite good, actually.
I was going to say, it smells like a Sauvignon Blanc.
Smells a little jazzier than that. First thing I smell is jasmine.
Oh, because the jasmine is weaved.
What? Oh, they said that in there?
Who said that?
Somebody said
tasting
that.
Panel.
Oh, they're
there. Weaves got it through right. Sweet. What about pine notes?
Pine notes? Pine nuts or pine notes?
Oh, pine nuts. Just kidding.
I don't smell pine nuts.
Well, that is weaved through with jasmine. They're weaved together, woven together.
Trail mix is...
yeah, Chex mix.
A buttery finish on the Chex with just a hint of cayenne pepper.
Mm, we put Worcestershire sauce all over everything.
Sesame sticks.
Yes.
Coated with caramel sauce. And there is like the pineapple.
Mm-hmm, yeah. The expression of jasmine, though, is very, very nice. You know what? I just did smell a slight piney note.
No way.
Not pine nuts, but pine. You know, pine needles.
I would maybe get there.
Mm-hmm. It's lovely. It's actually a very nice nose. I like that nose quite a bit.
It is a very nice nose. It's also...
Joe Gott.
He's eyeballing me.
What?
He is.
He's nervous.
I do love Sauvignon Blanc, and this is just such a nice nose for one.
We're going in, folks. Mm-hmm. Wine guy's nervous because he's thinking he's going to like this. Hey, Mikey. He likes it.
Mm. Oh, I heard that.
No, that's really good.
What? Wait, what'd you just say?
First of all, it's full-bodied.
Hold on, Scott. What did he just say?
It's a full-bodied Sauvignon Blanc.
It's not full-bodied.
It's full-bodied for Sauvignon Blanc.
It's yes.
What did you just say?
That's really good.
It's got some interesting things going on. There's a...
How the hell they get a glycerin mouthfeel without oak?
But not only that, there's a petroleum mineral flavor laced running right through the middle of that. Neither of those reviews talked about that. Maybe some people wouldn't like, but I think it's a nice characteristic. And maybe I don't have it quite right, the petroleum mineral kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's there.
No.
The minerality is pretty strong on this for it to not be mentioned in any of the reviews.
It's a unique minerality. Yeah. It's distinct, but it's not. It's not.
Yeah.
The jasmine soil, though, carries over onto the palate too.
Well, I think that's what the description was. I don't think the description was about the nose. Oh, I think really? The description was about the on the palate.
Wow.
Because they talked about it being intermixed with the pine nuts.
And it does have a decent finish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I don't get that was in the reviews was the much of the fruit that they talk about. You know, to blend those two reviews, you would expect a really distinct fruit profile on the front palate, and that's just not there.
Well, I think it's so rich and weighty. There's pineapple, but it's and mango, but those things are drippy,
subtle too. Mm. Not.
I mean, how much fruit can show?
Sometimes. Well, I was going to say I actually get a decent amount of mango on the finish, and sometimes it'll be like, oh, this is a dark fruit or a red fruit. The mango is very mango. Distinct.
It's mango chutney.
It is. It's very distinct. What is that?
But mango has a bit of a piney character to it occasionally.
It can.
Yeah.
But it's not that, you know, so many times people think of mango as this super sweet thing. Right. This is not that. No. This would be like an essence of mango, like if you had a mango-flavored water.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be the flavor without the sweetness.
Honestly, this is more of that. I was going to say it's more like the fleshiness of a mango to me.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm with that. And the pineapple's there, but it's not this sweet tasting pineapple. It's it's pineapple-ish.
Whew. That's all right.
I'm wondering if a lot of Sauvignon Blanc drinkers would find this lacking because of the way the fruit presents.
Yeah.
Well, those people are dumb.
Well, no, I get it.
It's not a normal Sauvignon Blanc.
It's not,
because it doesn't have the grapefruit singing through it, and the minerality is pretty prevalent.
Well,
tell me.
Well, it's not a sub-20 Sauvignon Blanc tasting. This is what $40 and $50 Sauvignon Blancs taste like, and that's what people normally don't drink. I mean, there are fans of that, but that's what this is. That's what those expensive how did Turley's Sauvignon Blanc compare to this?
Princess loved it. She enjoyed that more than the White Coat. It was big. It had the texture the way this did. It had a mouthfeel.
Yeah.
It had a Turley mouthfeel. Mm. Different than a red, but it was...
Wonder if they made this by accident.
I was just thinking that. Do you think they did this on purpose or they accidentally made this?
Don't be
I
haters.
Just was thinking that.
They did that so they would get a score and then a following, and then they're just going to stick it up your ass the next vintage.
I just was thinking that. Did they do this purposefully, or did they just slap some stuff together, and then they're like,
oh, no. No, they bought out Mary Edwards and was passing off their Sauvignon Blanc.
Folks, bought out Mary Edwards?
Welcome, no.
Folks, welcome to the QAnon podcast for wine drinkers.
Seriously.
I think something's up. Well, somebody, who did buy Mary Edwards? Somebody just did buy Mary.
I think Wilfred Wong.
I didn't know buy. They said, Wilfred, do you want to buy Mary Edwards? I said, I don't have any money.
I'm going to look it up. I think they kept Mary Edwards on as the winemaker.
Yes.
But I think that they did sell.
You mentioned mango in this wine. I don't taste any chutney, though. Damn it. Have you ever had, you know what I had the other day?
What you have, Wilfred?
Tuna fish chutney. Some people call it tuna salad, but I know it's chutney.
Rotor.
Fish chutney.
Rotor bought it. Well, Rotor is fantastic. That's good.
Rotor is fantastic.
I didn't review this wine. You know why?
Because it didn't have mango chutney.
No, because I don't really work for it. I mean, I just stop by, and then I find things in the dumpster, and I try those. So I don't really work for anybody. They move me down to the cellar and like that movie Office Space. Yes, they said, Wilfred, we're not going to pay you this week. I'm not getting the hint.
You keep showing up.
I have a passion. No, I have a rash. I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, God.
Okay. So,
Wilfred. To the line.
I'm sorry. We would actually read his reviews, but he just doesn't have very many.
This is...
I'm getting upset. I think Wilfred is upstaging me, and he might be more enjoyable than me on the show.
That's not saying much.
That's true.
I know.
We still have that 97 that you gave the Chilean Chardonnay we haven't done yet, so that'll be soon enough.
Yeah.
That is a one-bottle episode. This is great. I don't trust it, but it's great.
Yeah, it is really nice.
Oof.
What a good job. Mm-hmm. You know, and they, up front, I'll tell you what, I like this about it. For a California designation, they're telling you where they're sourcing their grapes from.
Everywhere.
I like that about it.
Yeah,
well, they
had a map of California and started throwing darts.
You know, they didn't say Hollywood Boulevard.
Well.
You know, they didn't say Hollywood Boulevard.
They left,
Utah
off the list because they knew that would make them look stupid.
Well.
Damn it. But there's Bakersfield.
They actually
Wilfred
said
sucks at darts.
He said Lake County.
They did.
He did say that.
Mm-hmm.
Very brave.
Right in the middle of the lake.
Very brave.
Yes. Did you know there's a dragon in the lake?
Have you drank Joel Gott before?
Yes. I hated it.
And you have two, Scott?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a Joel Gott fan.
Well,
he has apparel from that.
What's the red blend? It's a number... 1859,
something like that.
Something like that.
I don't know what it
but,
is.
But
1, 2, 3, 4.
What was the restaurant in Pickerington before he didn't make it?
McDonald's?
No.
Chef T's. Is that
Chef
what you're
T's, talking? Yeah. They had Joel Gott, a couple different Joel Gotts, and the red blend was fine. It was fine.
We've done on an unaired episode a Cat Brunet there.
It
the
was
not,
not
fine.
Fine.
No.
Speaking of cat wine, Rob was at Home Buys.
I was.
And what was the new varietal of cat wine or new coloration of
like it? Emerald green.
Oh,
he
we
didn't
might have
get
to
it for us.
What?
I'm sorry. I didn't really buy anything. I walked through there and went, this
you
is
did
good.
So. You
I bought a bottle of Sasso, but that's because I like Sasso.
Well,
but
Sasso,
I bought
Sasso.
One bottle of wine. It was depressing, man. And there were mice in there and shit.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, yeah.
The West Side one or the Morse Road?
Morse Road.
What? How much was the cat wine going for?
$11.99.
That's so much money for cat wine.
I know. And all we do is pour it out and then put it. But then I have to get another Santa costume. Maybe if I could get an elf costume, yeah. I would get that.
We could dress that cat wine up as a Grinch.
Oh,
well, there you go.
I like that.
Or Mrs. Claus.
It's so funny that in my mind, $12 for cat wine is an outrageous price.
I never look at the cat bottle, but the cat bottle I've decorated obviously with a magic marker, and then I put it. It has a. I'm sure people know that you can buy Santa novelty costumes for wine bottles because people are insane. And so the cat bottle is
the person that bought it.
No,
has the Santa costume with the Santa hat on
the
top
hat
of it.
The hat is really top notch.
It is top notch. I mean,
although it makes the drawing of the hat on the cat's head
redundant. Yes.
A little bit.
Well, it didn't have the Santa costume.
It seems like the cat got knocked on the head and has a big lump.
Well,
like
you know,
a cartoon like
originally
lump.
I drew a tuxedo on him. And then but Santa costume came out, and so, you know.
It's even better.
Sorry.
Wasn't the Santa costume a gift, part of a gift bottled wine?
Somebody gave, well, they gave me something that someone gave them. How's that sound?
Sounds
that's that naughty blush. Oh. It was on
sounds
the and that came
like,
with the Santa costume? Just,
yes, which is the only reason why I liked it.
Yeah.
So
the costume or the naughty blush?
Naughty blush, because it had the costume.
How was the naughty blush?
It's sitting right there. It's right next between Livingston Cellars and Pizza Wine.
Mm.
You get the Livingston Cellars Magnum.
You know, we've been threatening to use that as a punishment. And we never have.
Well, you haven't done anything quite bad enough yet.
Oh, of course I have.
No. So now, folks, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break.
Okay.
We're going to write down our scores for this wine.
Okay.
But we're not going to reveal them. We're going to reveal them when we get the other wine done. Mm. Or do we want to say what our scores are?
It doesn't matter.
Let's not do that.
Way.
Let's not do that. Let's hold on to that. Let's hold on to internally. Let it fester.
Something before we move on, I think the point cannot be overstated enough that if you traditionally drink Sauvignon Blanc, which doesn't always have a lot of minerality, doesn't, and this has really no grapefruit to speak of.
Well, that's New Zealand, not necessarily California.
It is New Zealand.
I'm just saying.
What I would say is it doesn't have any citrus.
Yeah.
Whether
no,
even I don't get the lemon there at all.
No, it's not really a citrus focused. I mean, moreover, this is a mouthfeel floral wine that has minerality. It's all mouthfeel. It's glycerin. It's that jasmine. There is mango. If you like mango, it's lovely through there. But
it just is a little bit different.
But it's essence,
yeah,
and it's weightiness, but not oppressiveness. It is a mouthfeel. It's basically. If I were going to say, and I was blind tasting this, and someone said, "Rob, how much does this Sauvignon Blanc cost?" I would say it's cost $40-some dollars.
More than $12 at Target.
Yes, yeah. It'd be cost $40-some dollars.
What a bargain!
Oh,
if you're a white wine drinker, buy this.
Well, if you're somebody that buys upscale Sauvignon Blancs,
save yourself a lot of money.
I mean, buy five cases of this right now and then kill yourself.
If you're someone who drinks upscale Sauvignon Blancs, this is a Sauvignon Blanc you bring out, you blind taste test it to your friends, and then you laugh when they try to figure out what it is, and you say it's $12, Joel Scott.
You know what the problem with that is?
What's the problem with that?
Scott, if you habitually buy high-end Sauvignon Blancs, you don't have any friends.
I knew you were
so, folks,
that.
We're going to take
easy.
A break. And then come right back here on The Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the second wine in order. This is the Chilean, and this is the Rafael Tadao Laberinto Sauvignon Blanc. Now, Scott, you brought this one. This is about a duo of extremely highly reviewed Chilean Sauvignon Blanc. So,
well, was One is Chardonnay.
No, they're both Sauvignon Blancs. So we have one more, actually. So we'll pit that against something else. No, we won't do that.
Well, you know, my thought process on those were, we've been rocking Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And let's let some white wine shine, too. And people like the Sauvignon Blancs from Chile.
Mm-hmm. And tonight we are drinking out of Riedel Wine Series, Chardonnay Sauvignon Blanc glasses, so.
This is a really small case production. Did you see that 1,500 cases?
It's not surprising. Yeah. I mean, single vineyard.
It's so cool, though. When you find something that's a small case production, I think it's cool. It's like a little bit of a niche. It's cool.
Sure.
I like it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
100% Sauvignon Blanc, stainless steel, just like
the those are the things to look for when you want to buy something that's just a little different. A single vineyard, folks. You can't. Ravenswood's seemingly maybe out of business is the right, right description. It's just paused.
It's out of business. Nobody owns it.
They're paused. We love their single vineyard Zin series. You know, we've talked about different single vineyard things we get from Turley or whoever. And, you know, this is a single vineyard, small lot production, Sauvignon Blanc out of Chile, less than $20.
Well, a lot of them. Leda makes one of those. I mean, a lot of these vineyards are making these little small ones. And they probably make in another label a non-single vineyard, but nevertheless, it's a whole portfolio. So
I really like the notes at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says, much of his vineyard is planted in various orientations, some of which are planted in the shape of a labyrinth.
Huh.
Raphael built a small gravity-fed winery and a geothermal barrel and bottle room on the property and currently produces estate wines under these two different labels. We believe these wines to be some of the most classical expressions of terroir in all of Chile, and Raphael Torrado to be a beacon of artisan Chilean wine.
Interesting.
You know what that tells me, though?
Not much.
He's like a little bit crazy.
Ah!
Don't you think? Like a little bit insane and also really loaded.
He would be. This is also on volcanic soil, so you can expect minerality, Scott.
I really want to look him up. I imagine him to be like a little bit mad scientist-y looking.
Ooh. You want me to read the review?
Do it.
Yeah, I'm going to Google him.
Okay. This was reviewed by Mr. Robert Parker. Robert does not have a voice on the show, but James?
Yes.
Would you like to read this?
Damn it. I suppose so. Robert Parker, the wine advocate, he's a douchebag. I don't feel much about him. I think that he is a poser, and he has a toupee.
Oh, he looks exactly how I thought.
Exactly. Anyway, Robert Parker being a bit of a point...
Look, can you see him?
Yeah,
God. A little bit crazy.
Yes. A point trollop.
Long hair. I knew you'd have long hair.
He provided this wine 94 of his points, and Robert, or one of his subordinates, because of course Robert doesn't do anything himself, he wrote, or someone else wrote, one of his staffers wrote, that I'm sure he's sexually harassed, but that's my opinion.
Robert.
Exactly. That's what they said. Anyway... 2019 was a milder year than 2018. I don't care. I'm going to read. Okay. Even so, this part of much cooler Male, the difference between the vintages tend to be more subtle. And in 2019 is not a warm vintage, just less cold. Yes. Perhaps the wine is a little rounder, more citrusy than herbal, and surprisingly has lower alcohol than the 18 I tasted next to it. By the way, the 2018, he gave 95 of his points, just so you know. Wow. It has terrific balance on the palate, with acidity that still makes you salivate, yes, and is effervescent, but perhaps not as sharp as colder years. It's a balanced vintage. Two commas. I don't know why. And he has two commas in his review. And the wine feels very complete and precise. 18,000 bottles produced. It was bottled in November 2019. He has moved from screw cap to natural cork in 2019 as he thinks it will result in higher complexity as the bottle ages. Bravo. 94 plus. What a poser.
He was also working on his dissertation.
Well, we know that Robert Parker retired. He didn't write reviews like that.
Thank you. I know that. Someone named Jeff did. Can I help you find a great wine? I just told Robert about a good wine.
So, in the glass, it doesn't have bubbles.
No.
That's interesting.
It's not still.
Should white wine be still?
It should, preferably. No, unless honestly, it's a sparkler.
That's about the only criticism we can make for that Joel got.
It is, and that's not really a real criticism because it tasted like awesome. Great. It tasted like awesome. How's that sound?
There's something awesome interesting powers on the nose, and I can't.
Barnyard and blue cheese. It tastes like Stilton and Barnyard.
I don't get the blue cheese.
There's something that's there. It's almost like a something that has salt on it, and I can't think of what it is.
Oh, there's a chalky aroma too.
It's almost like a roasted peanut smell on it.
Huh.
Okay.
But like a salted peanut. Yeah. Like a non-shelled, shell-on peanut. That real saltiness.
Stick your nose really in there. There's something in there that smells like something you get at the fair, and I don't Stilton. Know what it is.
God, I don't get the Stilton, man.
It could be from the cow barn.
No, there's a salt smell in there. I'm also...
It's Stilton, man.
Also, I'm pregnant, so my nose is weird, so...
No, I mean, this wine has odd aromas to it. It will, and maybe you're smelling something and interpreting it in a different way. I smell Stilton. It's the creamy Stilton with a little bit of funk. It's Stilton. Blue cheese, folks.
And, like, the salt has some heat on it. Actual heat, not spiciness, like warmth.
Maybe there's something that is wrong with you.
The closest I get to what Becky's describing, I get the little salty thing and maybe like elephant ears.
Oh. Scott, do you not smell that?
I don't get the
You Stilton. Can't interpret it that way?
Dude, I'm on a Stilton craze at home.
Take another smell. It's right there.
I'm just not getting it.
It's right there.
Sometime, I don't have any idea when we're going to be at a fair. Can't smell
it. I don't get it.
It's Stilton.
We're going to be at a fair or a festival someday, and I'm going to smell it, and I'll be like, that's the smell.
I don't get.
It's something like caramelized fried food. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Maybe you know when they do corn dogs from scratch, you get that.
Yes.
It's kind peanut of oil. It's vegetable or peanut oil.
Well, I said peanut and salt.
Something.
Did, but
okay,
you, get
that, I understand.
You get it? You get that sweetness mixed
in.
Well,
I wouldn't call it that, but I get why you say that. Let's just say that.
It's such a funny smell in wine.
It's
so weird.
But this is a really subtle nose.
Yeah.
To contrast it with the Gold Jot.
It has some unusual aromas.
The Gold Jot?
Joel Gott.
Him too? To contrast it with that one?
The Gold Jot? No.
Somebody's dyslexia popping up into the conversation.
Normally it's how you read it, not how you say it.
I love that you said him too.
No. Dyslexia demonstrates in different ways.
Maybe you're just a dipshit.
Rob.
Gold Jot?
Right.
Same diff. Go ahead.
Mobert Rundavi. Okay. What's wrong?
I think we
It happens.
Wow.
But go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
It's just a real subtle nose.
Yeah.
In contrast.
Blovelock.
That was.
It is a very, very
it's
subtle nose.
I'm sorry I don't get the Stilton sun.
Gold Jot.
Well,
I brought
that.
Scott over to the like county fair smell that I have.
It's an unusual nose. It's unusual.
Yeah. I got that, and I think maybe it is that peanut oil thing, and where you the mind works towards that saltiness, right?
Yeah,
maybe. Let's go in.
Rob's already tasted. Does it taste like a county fair?
Nope. No. Some people will like it. Not me. Some people will
like
it.
We should have drank this one first.
No. It's a very well done. It's very well done. Something
just
blocked,
the, it doesn't have the minerality. Wow. It's much more citrusy.
It's extremely citrusy.
On the
That's
finish,
why I said we should drink it first.
It does have that minerality, though. if you let the, this is long.
I know.
This is really long.
Yep. This is a classic old school Sauvignon Blanc.
I'm not sure you could have contrasted the styles of Sauvignon Blanc better than these two.
Blavignon Somp.
Blavignon Somp. Song and Gong. But the contrast
Savernay, these two ones. Cabernon.
I think you're not giving this a chance.
Right? No, I'm low.
This personal is really preference. Good. This is really good.
Personal preference is a nope. Actual merits of a wine, that's different. First of all, it's extremely acidic. And this is a different style, as Scott said. It's a matter of fact, you couldn't pick two wines that are more different.
The contrast between these two. This is, and that's something I don't think we brought up in the Joel got. There was no acidity there.
Right.
Did either of you get any acidity?
Didn't need it.
I get that. But
it just didn't exist.
And in the reviews, they talked about the acidity.
I didn't find it.
Not so much. And maybe that was just, you know, maybe we didn't look for it enough because we really blew through that pretty quick. Because it was good. We enjoyed it. But this, the acidity in this is fantastic. For me, the acidity in this is the best aspect of this wine.
Well, this is
and
the...
And it's long.
Okay, first of all, this is Sauvignon Blanc porn for you, Scott. And this is what both of you say Sauvignon Blanc tastes like. And you're not wrong.
Lord.
You're not wrong. But Sauvignon Blanc wears
it's
many
not
hats.
For me. I still prefer New Zealand.
Perestroika, perestroika, perestroika.
If I'm picking my Sauvignon Blancs, I'm picking New Zealand.
Vladimir has come to visit with Rebecca's husband, Rob, and he has been drinking the Kool-Aid.
No. Scott, slow down. First of all, this...
Robert has been drinking...
Both so confused.
This is grapefruit, though. This is grapefruit.
It's grapefruit, but it's not the same.
Because it's not from New Zealand?
New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs have grapefruit. They have some of that, like, paraffin-y taste.
They have a whimsical nature to them.
And this is not that.
I'm
not saying one. I'm just saying my preferences.
So what I love about this, the grapefruit's there, but it's lemon. And that is one of the purest expressions of lemon you'll ever have. And they go hand in hand. It starts grapefruit, but it's really pure grapefruit, too. It's not that sour grapefruit. It's just grapefruit-flavored. If you wanted a grapefruit-flavored soda, the first thing that hits your palate on this is perfect.
Yep.
Perfect.
Well, let me say this, Scott. Let me say this.
I'm not done.
Shut up.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
The Joel Gott, or the Gold Jot, is the wine I would pick to drink with your halibut the other night. However, if I were at... some local seaside, whatever, and they were shucking oysters, and I was going to have raw oysters. This is what I would want.
Or
just raw oysters.
No.
Or
you know what this would be great with?
What?
Pan-fried scallops.
I
just simple.
Scallops too.
Just a nice freaking sear. Just butter. Touch of garlic.
Scott. Even
boom.
Then, I would pick. So. I would pick the Joel Gott. But Scott.
Correct.
No.
Rebecca.
This,
scallops with this.
Boom.
I don't think so. This, though, I think has a rustic quality that matches well with it. And it is a little bit briny because of the acidity.
I think this would be, for me, this would be more versatile with food, particularly seafood pairings, than the Joel Gott. But getting back,
I mean,
to the
Red
fruit.
Lobster, you might be right.
Easy.
But, I mean, but Joel Gott is available at Red Lobster. So
there's that. There you go. But the grapefruit.
But they have the 2014 vintage, so it's all right.
Where for me, and I know what you're saying about you prefer the New Zealand style to this, but this is Chilet. Is leaner. Mm-hmm. This is more the. Texture and the mouthfeel you expect with Sauvignon Blanc, the mouthfeel you get out of that Joel Gott is different. Mm-hmm. So I don't knock this down any for what the mouthfeel is. It's just in such stark contrast.
I'm not knocking it down. That's a great compliment to say that it's great with raw oysters shucked by the seaside.
For sure.
But I mean, it's like, but Joel Gott, I mean, I really could have it at Red Lobster. I really theoretically could have it there, and I could pair it with an Admiral's Feast, which is delicious.
Repetitious.
Just saying.
Comedic point how, made once.
How out of character is that wine served at probably 79 degrees at a Red Lobster?
I'm sure Red
in
Lobster.
In those big, stupid, fucking hard-ass glasses that you could never break over a table to begin with.
So I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
In Robert Parker's review.
Yes.
He said that this one is marginally more civilized than the 18.
Mm.
So what do you think the 18 tasted like? Because this is pretty wild.
Rattlesnake venom.
But he also said...
very flashy. This is very...
It's a good wine.
I'll give you flashy.
Yeah.
I'll give you flashy.
At least an 88.
So for me, what I love that races through the middle of this wine, that... You transition, it's grapefruit first. And what a great expression of grapefruit.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Maybe not as much as you'd like from a New Zealand profile,
right.
But it's fine. But the New Zealand profile needs that grapefruit to balance that usually big expression of tropical fruit.
Yeah.
This doesn't have that.
No,
you're
right.
It transitions to the lemon, which is what a great expression of lemon.
Yep.
Well,
what a great expression of lemon.
Many of those New Zealand wines that you're discussing are a little more one-dimensional, where this has multiple dimensions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the length of this thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good wine.
It's not a big finish, but it's a long finish.
Mm-hmm.
Different expression of minerality, but I would say just as good an expression of minerality as the Joel got. So there's some compare and contrast going on here, too.
Mm. It's a good wine. You know how much better this is than the Fry Brothers or the Rodney Strong Charlotte's Home? Yeah. Well, we did that. Remember when we did that? That was horrendous. And this is also better than the Mason and the whatever the hell.
It's kind of shocking that you picked these two with the expectation that they would be
No, I didn't. No.
Very, very nice.
I did not expect that.
I did not expect the Joel Gott to hold up to the review.
The review,
and I'm not saying it's 92.
No, the 92.
But I didn't. You'll see from my scores of integrity. I didn't expect it to hold up for shit.
Neither did I. We both all lost on that.
But so this Joel Gott. I'm going to call this Libertino, but it's Labratino.
Yeah.
Labradoodle? Labradoodle-tino?
I think it's like Labyrinth.
No, Labyrinto.
Labyrinto-tino. Yeah.
No, Labyrinto.
Labradoodle-tino.
Labyrinto. Raphael Teodoro Labyrinto.
Raphael knocked this out of the park. Mason, this, and the Joel Gott. Three really good South Scots.
Mason's just a little bit below these.
Oh, he's
wow.
Where's
Kimmy?
Wow.
What?
Where's Love Block?
Love.
It sounds like Lukey talking
Block.
Right now. No, don't want. Let me respond as Luke. Don't want no Kim Crawford. Don't want no Love Block. I want my Joel Gott. No, I don't want that.
You know,
what would you pair Joel Gott with at Olive Garden? I mean, what do they? You don't want seafood scampi.
I was going to say,
I'm going to get myself some scallops.
The only thing I could think of, though.
Barf.
What else would you pair it with?
The salad and breadsticks.
Shrimp Alfredo.
It would be awful with God, that heavy of a sauce.
No, you would have a glass of that with your salad.
You can taste the flour. In
calamari
that
would be fine. Not that I'm going to order calamari from the Olive Garden.
No, you're
I
not.
Think it's you know.
Bite it.
I can't say I've ever had it there.
And
we
heat
say.
It. It's
you
the same
what?
Thing.
It's the same thing. I can't say I've ever had calamari at the Golden Corral. I mean Olive Garden.
You go there and try to be all fancy. Hello, what? Let me see your wine for this. And you start laughing while you said it.
I would wonder though.
They're Chianti's
usually
fine. Something
I was thinking about
fine.
With the Joel Gott.
No,
if you're
it's usually fine.
And 82 degrees.
If you're ordering it at your Applebee's and your wherever
yeah.
place like that, are you going to like it?
I don't think they're going to serve the Sauvignon Blanc at the Applebee's. The people probably aren't going to serve this. They're going to serve the other Joel Gott stuff that's not as good.
Yeah. But what if they did, Scott? What if they did?
I don't know.
So if I'm out and I see this at a restaurant like that, I'm going to order this because I know it's good. Or excuse me, the Joel Gott because I know it's good.
No, I agree. Why not? We would know it's good, but I'm saying someone that's ordering, I don't know that they would like it. This super prejudiced.
That's fair enough.
And maybe,
because they're a bunch of yabos.
Easy.
Now they are. I mean, Scott, after they were at a shopping spree at Walmart, and they went to the Applebee's.
You've had Applebee's in the past month. You can't be all high and mighty.
Applebee's. It's been 2 months, and it was takeout. The office.
I haven't eaten at Applebee's in probably
We got it.
Years.
We're like, why
we get
we,
Olive Garden from we, the takeout,
we,
too.
Not recently. We got it. We go, why the... This is the general consensus. Why the fuck did we just do that? That's disgusting.
Have you all had Olive Garden since that girl had COVID and wanted you all to bring her Olive Garden?
That was it. Yeah. Although, Olive Garden, if you get takeout, their margarita chicken. It's just a grilled chicken breast with a little bit of mozz and parm with a slice of Roma tomato on top of it. With a side of broccoli.
Yeah.
It's all right. The chicken is okay. I got grilled chicken from Applebee's, too.
Did you have Joel Gott Sauvignon Blanc with it?
No. I should have mainlined some fucking heroin. That would have given me the proper...
That was probably in your chicken.
The proper Lancaster experience involves a copious amount of heroin. So, folks...
This one's growing on me. I'm just going to say that.
It was the on longer you to begin
this,
with.
The longer this opens, the more I like it.
Oh, you had a hard-on for this thing the first time you tasted it.
And it's growing on me.
Oh, my gosh. It's the only thing that's growing. Here!
Throbbing.
On the
veins pulsating.
We'll be right back on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. Scott is down because he's fighting Bo.
Get down on it.
Bo back.
Get down on it.
So we're back, folks. And now we are on to the review portion of the show.
Oh,
we have some more discussion. Things to comment on.
They do. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your mental process. Go ahead.
Our mental process.
I'll permit you to speak.
Well,
not you. I meant Becky.
Well, we were discussing... It's no secret, Rebecca's love for Kim Crawford / Love Block. And we were talking about where...
Oyster Bay.
Not true.
Easy. Easy talk.
That is an inaccurate statement.
It is. Robert. Propaganda. Pure propaganda.
Robert, this is Dr. Meyer. You must take your turn with your wife. She must have the time for her to speak, and you must not mansplain to her.
Yep.
We've been working on this in the counseling, and it's just not taking, sir.
Well, Scott, let me tell you what
you need
you just
to commit
meant.
More mm-hmm. to your counseling.
So,
sir.
Something that we were talking about, and I was thinking about, is this is the one of the first times because the Joel Gott is so good and distinctive that you can speak to it like a proper Sauvignon Blanc.
Much to Rob's chagrin.
Right.
Much to Rob's chagrin.
And by the way, Bo is an alcoholic because I just wiped up some leftover wine with a sweatshirt, and Bo is licking the sweatshirt.
He's probably never smelled anything like it.
Well.
He's like, what is this?
Is this Chilean?
We sometimes we might sit it's after the second
good,
episode
very
and
good
Bo
expression
tries
of minerality.
To get his taste of the wine.
What did he port. Stick his tongue in?
Port. Yeah,
he tries to stick his wine in both of our glasses any chance he gets.
He likes to stick his wine in both of our
glasses. His tongue.
So back to
his
the
wine
point
tongue.
That I was going to be making is tonight having the Joel Gott, which is a California designation. and then having this Chilean, mm-hmm. and then thinking about New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc that we've drank, you know, before, it's really obvious the different characteristics of each of them. And the same way that I would say, like a cab or something else, you mm-hmm. know, where you can tell a Zin, you can tell where it's
made. I was
going
to say Zin. One of the things we like so much about Zin is that it has so many different characteristics based on when it's made and what a winemaker chooses to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Sauvignon Blanc, and include the, I think I want to include the Mason in this discussion. We've got four distinct examples of things that are just similarities, compare and contrast, but mm-hmm. wonderful things. It's probably going to hurt Becky's soul a little bit, but I couldn't say that Love Block is heads and shoulders above these two that are before us tonight.
Okay, first of all, though.
I can't say that.
I'm going to come to Love Block's defense. First of all, on a year-to-year basis, it probably is better than Joel Gott.
I agree. I'll agree with that.
From a consistency standpoint, you don't have to be at a 94 or nothing.
I agree with that.
I mean, so if it is a quality product every week. And by the way, Kim Crawford, I mean, it has stylistic choices it makes, but it's a quality product every year. And Kim Crawford also makes 50 billion cases, roughly. Yeah. Roughly. And it's a quality product every
premium
year.
Premium price, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Relatively.
So, 30? I mean, they've mastered...
Upper 20s?
Sauvignon?
Upper 20s?
No, I think it's like... You can get it for 22. Like 17.
17 or 16.
For the Love Block?
No, okay. No, Kim Crawford.
Kim.
Well...
Just Kim Crawford is like 13,
Kim
14
you can
bucks.
Get for like 17. Yeah. I would say...
I'll be honest. I've had a couple of those bottles. Got a couple for my mom. These are better than Kim Crawford.
Well, yeah.
Both of these.
Well, Scott, these are better than Kim Crawford. That's right.
When I say Kim Crawford, I'm talking about his label now that's Love Block.
We're talking
you're
about...
meaning we're talking about real Kim
I'm
Crawford.
Talking about Love Block.
Scott, he sold his name.
I know that. Yeah. But he's still him.
Well, he isn't because he sold it. So he's
no
longer...
Now he's Love Block.
Yeah, now he's Love Block. It's his name, like Prince. He's a symbol now.
He's not dead.
It's just like this.
It's very upsetting.
It looks like this. Let me show you a symbol.
I've gone on many, many rants about it.
I saw a symbol once.
You can't.
You saw the
Scott, this is his symbol.
You're so stupid.
What?
Rob.
Rob is a 13-year-old boy.
No shit.
Inside, isn't he?
He just shows
this is the symbol
of a penis.
No, that's not a penis.
Rebecca.
You're so perverted.
Excuse me, it is.
That's not.
This has been fun.
Anyway.
This is
so,
it.
But back to...
Rob,
you see it?
That was kind of hairy. Gonad.
He's seriously a 13-year-old boy.
Maybe 12. But I'm talking about Love Block. And I have the same esteem for it. Maybe not historically as you do, but it's really, really, really good.
Yeah.
I'm putting... these two and Mason in a conversation where those are four unique Sauvignon Blancs that all have different characteristics that are wonderful wines and at a reasonable price point.
Yeah.
Love Blocs, I misspoke. The Pinot's about 30. It's
Love Block is still in the 20s.
Low 20s, though. Mm-hmm. The Sauvignon's low 20s.
I just bought it for $14.99.
Love Block?
I don't know, on clearance.
Oh, on clearance.
Of course it was on clearance. I have a vertical of Love Block, Sauvignon Blanc, quite a few of them.
But I
bought it right before you got pregnant. And so it's like, you got pregnant. And it's like, damn it, I bought all this damn Love Block. So
I'm going
to
take it on vacay.
Nah. But
what?
I have 17 and 18.
Raphael.
That's choice. That's
Raphael's product here, because of the lemon that streaks through the middle and the acidity, this is something I could drink all summer long.
What about like after Labor Day? Could you do it then?
If it was really warm out in my white dress.
In white shoes.
Oh. Scott, I made some.
Only wear those to the gym.
I made some alterations. Do you recognize it now?
Stop.
How's that look? Get a little closer here. This is a little more. So, yeah, you're more comfortable this distance.
I have very much enjoyed this tour of Sauvignon Blancs tonight.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And even though you had a Judy Garland me down here, I'm glad.
What?
Man, I drew a picture of a dick.
I realize you didn't care for the Mason as much as us.
Well, she felt that there was a conspiracy. I'm not speaking for
and
you,
do
but
I remember you are. The Mason?
Yeah, you claimed that New Zealand was shafted in that night, but
how much did the Mason cost?
Are you suggesting that New Zealand got this that night? That's what New Zealand got. So
was
Mason
I vaguely remember that. I think I blocked it out because I was.
Well,
so
the full
mad.
Retail you price of Oyster mad. Bay was close to Mason, even though I bought it for $7.
So the Dern household was full of Sauvignon bias, just in different spectrums.
Yeah,
you have a distinct
pro.
She's a very pro New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, but mm-hmm. I think this episode here is. Open your eyes to the things that it could be. I mean, these are great.
I still prefer New Zealand.
So
all
here's
day long,
but here's the big reveal. I didn't want to do off air. I want to do on air. If you were, I'm gonna have more than just a 1 ounce taste of each, and you were gonna have a second glass of these two. Which would you have a second glass of?
Joel Gott.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You surprised me on that. I thought you were gonna go. Yeah. I thought you were gonna go with the Chilean.
The citrus is a lot for me.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes. That Chilean wine tastes like butt hash. Doesn't, but
it doesn't.
It's just fucking.
It doesn't. It's very good. It's just a lot for me.
Do you think that's?
I couldn't have two glasses of it.
Do you think if you weren't pregnant, it would feel differently about this?
Because
the
sitch, I had this first.
What is that
baby?
Supposed to mean?
Because.
No, your taste buds are different, Rob.
Right.
I think if I had had this
being
one
sensitive,
first,
you're not.
Once you have minerality, it's hard to go to something that's so bright and so citrusy.
This is, you know, and that's not a word we use. Bright is freaking perfect, Becky.
Yeah. But I think if we had had this one first, maybe I could have had two glasses of it. But now I would rather have a Joel Gott glass.
And we're all suckers for texture. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm not quite as much as you guys are, but I'm a sucker for texture too.
Yeah.
I love mouthfeel. And mm-hmm. that Joel Gott. Goth now? It's goth. It's
got
been a rough day.
You got something wrong with you. But we should
let
have,
me count the ways.
We should have both taste them. He tasted the Chilean. We'll try the gold.
Which one do you like?
Gold. You said it. You said gold.
No, Chol.
You said gold.
You said gold.
I just actually said Chol. That's all right.
You are a chode, but that's okay. You said,
how do you like that texture?
Stop.
Take a look at it. You looked at it
and
really
you got
close.
Your paper webs. Disgusting.
You were slightly titillated when
right
I showed
spot.
You that picture of that penis. I just
you keep handling it.
Handling it? I'm just holding the bottom of it, man. Just holding it up.
Just by the bottom.
Look how it's all excited. See you.
Just creased.
Maybe you need to. Maybe you don't like that. I'm going to try it again. It's not a very accurate dick.
Actually, you are very.
Maybe you prefer the side view. Okay.
So we're going to add to our union grievances Cuomo like sexual harassment of the unlicensed taxi driver.
See, it's a happy dick. It's got a smiley face on the penis. Just imagine that somebody tattooed a smiley face on the tip of their dick. See, it's a very hairy dick.
Rebecca, your husband is.
I'm not even
off
looking at him.
Freaking hook.
I'm not even acknowledging him. I'm not looking.
I'm an artist.
So, can I ask a pointed question? How is it different than any other night?
No, I'm always like this. It's not like a.
No, I was asking her about not looking at you.
Oh. I'm pretty fucking sexy. So, we're going to go around the room. We're going to get some scores. First, we're going to go with the Joel Gott, and we're going to go over to the Triple B.
Look, I'll agree with that only on one context.
What are you agreeing with?
You're
sexy?
Goddamn sexy. When he's cooking, he's a sexy man, isn't he? Those crusted steaks he does? No, she's saying no, not so much.
I'm out in the garage doing
not
that.
Not right now. Off me.
I don't think she finds the crusted steak sexy, but it is sexy. It was tasty.
Well, I guess it's sexy to one of us, but that's it.
Wait till this
summer. I guess not
so
much.
Steak again.
We shouldn't share those penises.
That has nothing to do with it. It's the steak that does it for me.
Okay, good. Well, it tasted good.
When you made those steak nachos, that was.
That was really good.
Oh, so he sent me a picture of that. He had done and it was, that was ribeye too, wasn't it?
Or was it strip? I can't remember.
It was T-bone.
Yeah, it was those T-bones. But he did a steak taco for Becky and had piles of nachos. Avocado.
Well, she's
in a cast iron.
She's averse to the big steak sitting in front of her, but she likes nachos, so I made steak nachos. So I still got to grill my steak and have fun doing that. But then I threw the cast
really good,
and I put through the cast iron on the little mini cast iron on the grill. Through the nachos and the cheese, layered it up there, avocado, tomatoes. Sliced tomato, sour cream, steak.
What was the plate you served it on?
I just kept it in the cast iron.
It was in the cast iron, that's right.
Yeah, I have like a little, what is it, an 8-inch cast iron?
Yeah, it's small. I think it's like for desserts, you know, when people make, but it was perfect.
Like an egg pan.
We bought it because I do, what the hell are those things called?
Quiche?
No, it's not a quiche.
I don't know where you're headed.
A frittata.
Frittata, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if you're not doing a 45-person frittata with the 12-inch, I do that with the smaller one.
I think frittatas do better in a smaller pan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you get more even cooking through the middle.
You always have to worry about the skin. You don't want to get that burnt skin.
We have a lot of eggs right now. That would be a good dinner.
Okay.
Keto scrambled eggs. 4 yolks, 2 whites. And a little butter, a little cheese.
I love frittata with broccoli in it. And it would even be good with some of that, like Polish sausage would be really tasty.
Tuesday night, I'll do a sausage and spinach.
I like my version of Rob's baked egg dish he used to do for you with the tomato and goat cheese and egg. I just do my egg on the side, but I do in a La Croisette egg pan, I do halved pear tomatoes or little grape tomatoes, and then real high heat. Olive oil, then turn the heat down, and then just crumble goat cheese over the top of it, and it gets crusty.
That's lovely.
I do the eggs separate.
Yeah.
Where he would bake egg with tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And it's always a good looking dish. In like a ramekin, a little bigger than a ramekin.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had that in a while either.
Somebody doesn't love it.
I could have made it for dinner. Anything. I said anything. Except for huevos rancheros. Yeah. I didn't do that.
Hmm.
So, Triple B.
Yes.
The Joel Got. Where you at? What you got for the Joel Got?
The notes I wrote down.
That's zany humor.
For Joel Got. That I think are like the three things that I will remember about it are the minerality, the length. Which is so shocking in a white wine. I think that's something I really remember. And the mouthfeel is really, really nice. And I am a sucker for that. I'm giving it an 89.
Ooh.
Easy, Tiger.
Are you saying that I am or that Scott will be?
Easy, Tiger.
Me?
I'm at 90. It's not a 92. Gosh.
You gave me a perestroika for an 89, and Scott gave it a 90, and you nodded.
He's harsh.
Yes.
He's harsh.
Oh, my God.
It's funny what 1 point will do to you.
Why don't you just call her Judy Garland again?
It's better than calling her Mickey Rooney.
I would love to be Judy Garland and take some pet pills.
It's
not an easy life.
It's not. It's not. You deal with 4 children, and I'm not talking about any that are unborn. He's probably the most.
Stop!
I'm going to distract Scott while I try to
big. Oh my God!
There's two of them.
The problem is you don't have pus or any sores on.
Don't
them.
Act like it's your first time.
What?
For you to hold up a picture of a penis? No, it's not.
That's right.
You used to do it on a regular basis. You're sick.
So let's do. Why did you give it a 90?
You just have to defend it.
Because
he likes it.
It would have scored higher. But the fruit was a little subtle. It didn't have really any expression of acidity. But the mouthfeel is spectacular for a California designation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get more points because it's a California designation. But it doesn't.
No, I know what you mean. But yeah.
It doesn't get scored higher.
Oh, you did! You tried so hard, points.
But they did really well.
Because we know Joel Gott didn't try that hard.
Easy.
There's a long con here.
No, you're the long con.
It's like Mayomi when it was good that 1 year. Then they're like, yeah, we
got those motherfuckers.
I know. I can't.
I could see that. I can't wait, and that's fine.
Slash, I'm already disappointed about drinking a different vintage.
Yeah, they're not a serious wine producer.
Yeah.
It's like, Josh.
They're large scale.
Wow, they suck dick.
Easy. They source their wine from all over. What are the chances that's what everybody does. 85 vineyards that they source this from having the same grapes next year?
Somebody.
Robert Rondovi does not do that.
No, he doesn't. But to put all. There's skill in taking wine from so many different areas of California. To have that end product.
Yeah, they had Fry Brothers put it together for them.
Hey!
Wait a minute.
It had good length.
We just do one place. We can't do it right.
It had good length.
It did.
It was much more complex than you could ever expect.
Oh, yeah.
Out of a $12 Sauvignon Blanc with California designation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really well done. This is a really well-made wine.
Oh.
Kudos, Joel Gott. The mouthfeel, I used the word texture when I wrote my notes down. It had a texture about it that was fantastic. And with that mouthfeel in the middle of the wine, that's where the minerality was laced.
True.
It was really unique.
Unique.
I'm at 90.
And I'm at 90, one of my points.
What? Oh, my gosh.
The texture is just beyond that. But the nose, Scott.
How
the nose.
I forgot about the nose. Neither of us talked about the nose.
What?
Are you having any difficulties giving a Sauvignon Blanc a 91?
Not this Sauvignon Blanc. I enjoy this Sauvignon Blanc. The nose is what pushes it over for me. I love smelling it. I love enjoying it. I love being around it. And I know it's just a one-shot deal, but that's okay.
So crazy.
No, we don't know that it's
a Sauvignon Blanc this way.
We don't know that it's a one-shot deal. Easy. Easy, Tiger. You don't know.
Never gonna dance again. I don't know the rest of the song.
But
it's never going to be like that.
You don't know.
Got no rhythm. And we're never
you don't have
dance
any rhythm,
again.
That's for sure.
And then I dance with you. Oh.
Who's
It's Wham.
Rob, when he's thinking
that's
about
George
the superstar.
Yeah.
It's been way too long for them to attend a wedding together and sing and
that's
dance.
That's true. We would dance together like that.
You just.
I'm never going to dance again. Something, got no rhythm. All which right. might be a something,
it's
too.
Rhythm.
I don't know. Anyway, 91 of my points. I would say not an 89, but a 90, 91. I'm not going to go 92.
Scores
it's never a 92.
Of integrity.
I know.
I said Scott 86, Rob 87, and I thought those were high scores. I thought I was being generous for scores of integrity.
I went 84. Where'd you go, Rob?
I said Scott 87, Becky 86. So I think I won.
No, I think you
tied. No, I got the same as you.
Maybe.
Wait. No.
Wait,
say what yours were. 86, 80. Who had 86?
Four. I was eight off. What
who
were
did
you?
Wait, no. Who did you have 86?
You. I was off by 8.
86, 87. And then what were your scores, Rob?
87 for Scott, which would be 3 points off, and Becky in 86 would be 3 points off.
Oh, so you
won
six. To eight.
Rob won the Rob won the goal jot.
Finger guns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
And then on to the Rafael Tedado Laberinto Sauvignon Blanc. Let's just see that, Scott.
This is like almost sexual harassment of Scott.
It is almost.
It's already been noted in the union. There's a grievance file.
Seriously.
With the NLRB, EEOC.
It's just general harassment. We're going to go over to the Triple B.
So I would like to have this wine first sometime. Because I do think that my perception of this was skewed. Because the first one had so much minerality. And this one had so much citrus.
Mm. Is that a complaint you're logging?
Yep.
Well,
here, let me take that complaint. No. See that little thing right there next to you by the wall?
You're not going to show me your picture?
I
think there's also...
Put your complaint in there.
I think there's a good point in there, too. You know, we do a wine, sometimes two in one episode, and then maybe we'll do a second episode, Rob and I. But to do tasting after tasting after tasting after tasting, like the wine professionals do, it's really difficult.
It is.
Don't you think?
Yeah, it is.
And I think that's a point that needs to be drawn out here, that maybe you would have had a different perspective if you just drink this wine first.
This one, I think, also, I don't know, because it's so, it has so much citrus in it, it almost tired out my palate. Like, it almost, I don't know, it just is. Stop, Rob.
I drew a new one. Maybe you'll recognize this one.
Anyway.
It's sad.
I'm trying to be serious here.
Why are you making fun of Hank like that?
So that I will remember from this are for sure the lemon, just the overall citrus. And I do think it's like a flashy, bright, jazzy Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave it an 88.
Ooh. 88, that's going to make Scott sad.
But again...
Sad. That doesn't make me sad at all.
Again, I think if I had drank it first, I think that I could have maybe scored it higher. But it is what it is.
Score where you think it is.
I'm giving it an 88.
That makes sense.
It is what it is. I like this better than the Joel got. I'm going 91. And here's why. I think this wine has more complexity. I think it has more going on. No, it does not have the mouthfeel that we all love.
No.
It's longer. Mm-hmm. I think the minerality, although is not as intense, it's longer. Mm-hmm. I think it's a different expression of minerality. True to the varietal. But it's... I'll remember the Joel got, but not as much as this.
I will remember the
combination of the expression of lemon citrus with the grapefruit at front flowing into the acidity, I'm going to remember that more. And I like it more.
It's
91.
I know you would like it more. It's fine.
I really like the Joel guy as well, but I'm going 91. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate this winemaker a little bit more than the Joel guy.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, that's just kicking him in the nuts. But yeah,
I think you made a valid point that in terms of reproducibility of the wine, I think we're more likely to get another wine from this maker of this varietal, this quality in the future.
More likely, that's underselling it just slightly.
And there were a pretty good amount of case amounts of this as well.
1,800 cases.
This wasn't 200 cases.
1,500.
Yeah, it's a very small production.
It's small production, but it's not.
It's a very small production.
All right.
Good point, though. So it's on to me, folks. So the Rafael Tadado could win if I provided it 92 of my points. However,
Bo growled. Did you hear that?
He's like, I had that.
Perfectly
the minerality was out of balance.
So funny.
I will provide this wine 90 of my points. It's a 90. It's not quite as good as the Joel got. I think I might be a little bit high on the 92. Although I think that the acidity it made an impression. And I know where the triple B comes from because it's...
Let me mansplain it.
Go
ahead. Explain what I said in a perfectly fine fashion.
No, it's just my impression of where you're coming from. The way I go down that road too. It's me. It has nothing to do with the triple B.
Mm-hmm. Other than the fact that you started to go down the road about the triple B.
Yeah, please. Okay.
Assume she doesn't exist for the moment.
Impossible.
It's possible.
Go ahead, make my point again.
I'll just show you that then, just to throw you off. Anyway,
it's not working.
Okay.
I already spoke.
I could draw all sorts of parts of people's bodies that you shouldn't look at. Anyway, I'm very talented. This wine, the Rafael. It's a little bit unusual. It's a bit of an oddball, as Scott would say, in the fact that it is, yes, it does have grapefruit, but it goes into lemon. It's more of a bright citrus, where the New Zealands are a little bit more, I wouldn't call it simplistic. That's not true, but I wouldn't call it focused either. I would just call it...
The fruit's more focused.
Okay, one part of it is more focused. And it just provides a little bit different experience than this wine does. And I can understand why the average person or the above average person that likes a certain style of Sauvignon Blanc might not like this style. But conversely, might not like
the Joel got.
Each wine is representing where they're coming from. So I think a lot of what you're getting with the Raphael is the volcanic soils. Because those are naturally acidic.
Fair enough.
And there you go.
Love it.
The Joel Gott is going to try to encapsulate really classic Californian Sauvignon Blanc, higher end. And they do that quite well. So when you think about where each wine comes from and what they're trying to represent, they both do it quite well. They do it excellently. So,
which had the better expression of fruit?
Neither.
Easy.
Neither. No, but Scott, neither the focus of neither. I could say that.
You did, but the question was, which of the two had the better expression of fruit?
Okay.
One that was more subtle.
Joel got
one that was
expressed
in the face.
Expressed a cleaner version of mango better than what?
Cleaner?
Yes.
There's nothing cleaner than the lemon in this.
It's a hit of acidity. It's a citrus acidity. And it goes between grapefruit and lemon. Neither one is distinct.
What?
You can claim
this
it is.
This is much bigger than the fruit on the Joel Gott.
I know that you think that, and that's great. But Joel Gott is a wonderful expression of the essence of mango.
Of the essence of mango.
Scott, if I'm asked to choose between the two, I don't think either one of them do a great job of just kind of setting apart a certain fruit that it's representing. I don't think either one of them does a great job of that. But if I'm asked to choose,
dude, you're talking out your arse.
Oh my god, lemon!
This is so
I put
lemony.
Lemon in my iced tea. I'm not.
Okay, that's fine.
It's acidity.
There's acidity with it.
No, it's acidity.
The lemon expresses long before the acidity.
Okay. You know what also had a great expression of lemon? Ars Vitis Riesling. Do you want to go down that road? No, you don't. So it does.
I'm breaking
Scott,
down your review.
I like that wine.
I'm criticizing
too.
Your review.
I like that wine too.
It's really good.
And I like it differently. I think the kindest thing I said and the most accurate thing I said is if I'm shucking oysters, well, I'm not shucking oysters. Someone else that knows how to do it at a seaside cafe and is bringing me freshly shucked oysters from the seaside that are briny and wonderful. And they're saying, and we're not talking to some place inland. No, some place right on the coast. And they're saying, you know what? Do you want Raphael or anything else in the world? I'm probably going to say, you know what? That Raphael, that works wonderful for that. Give me that. You know what, Scott? That is probably, from me, one of the highest compliments I can provide. Because, first of all, it says it's rustic. Mm-hmm. And it's true to the region. And it does both of those things. And even though I don't think on the grander scale it's a point less, I appreciate that wine. And quite frankly, like you said, year in, year out, it's going to be the winner. Joel Gott's a flash in the pan. That's okay.
When you're talking 90, 91, even 88, 89, these are really good scores for wines that are typically not complex. And my reason for going 91 with this is it's, in my opinion, just slightly more complex than the Joel Gott. The Joel Gott gets credit for having that texture. Rob gave it a 91. I gave it a 90. I think these scores are all have merit. And it's personal preference to some degree. You know, Becky mentioned if she'd had one versus the other, maybe her scores would be different. These are both great wines for less than $20.
They are both great wines.
For less than $20. When was the last time we had two that we did a side-by-side where we said these are great?
Not to this level.
Have we ever done it?
Semignon.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
I don't even know that they were these high scores. Were
they were higher. They were higher. We were all in the 90s on both of those.
Okay.
So, we have for the Joel Gott.
What were our scores of integrity?
Oh, yes. I provided, well, I said that Beck, well, I won on the Joel Gott. But on the Raphael, I said Scott would give it a 91, which he did.
Wow.
And yeah, your show. And you bought it too. And Becky would give it a 90. So I'm 2 points off there.
You expected it to be good, though.
I expected it to be better than Joel Gott, yes.
I gave it, you guys both 88s.
I went 87, 86. I didn't think either of these would hold
muster.
So, yeah. Rob, this is like one of his only, this is like maybe his second.
I swept it.
But he's been such an ass all night. It's interesting that he won the Scores of Integrity.
That's all you need to know. What do you think? Right there.
I would agree with that. He's been an ass all night. Yes.
But we, you 100%. Know, he's our ass.
Okay, I could draw one of those too.
She makes no comment.
Stop.
But
would it have a big carbuncle on it? How about an ingrown hair?
How you like that shit right there?
I just want to go to sleep.
So
I don't know if you should go to sleep after that draw.
I know. I can't believe I did that.
Lock the door.
I can't believe
you did that.
I'm right-handed. You didn't see what I did.
I saw it.
You did. I know. It's a happy one.
I'm a mom. I see everything.
I know. So, California wins again. Joel Gott, good job. But you're not going to win it next year. And we're not going to drink you next year. But that's okay.
It's a disputed result.
No, it's not.
It's a disputed result. I'm disputing the results. I'm asking for a recount.
Recount that, fucker.
We had QAnon earlier. I'm bringing it back into play.
Okay.
I'm disputing results.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anyway, so Joel Gott,
where's Marjorie Taylor when you need her?
I don't know. Wishing people were dead. I don't know. Wearing masks the wrong way. I don't know.
But what masks is she wearing? Mardi Gras mask?
Looking like she just ate 12 chicken wings and went to fucking Walmart. I don't know what she's doing. So, Joel Gott wins. California beats Chile. And we're all disputed. Dumber to, you know, for the porpoise of it. But nevertheless.
Porpoise?
Porpoise, yes. Porpoise. Jot, or whatever it was you said.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Licensed Taxi Driver, and the world famous Triple B.
With much chagrined. Triple B.
I think you put her to sleep with your banality.
Oh, I put her to sleep.
Yes.
I'm so tired.
We're going to bid you adieu. So Triple B can go off to Sleepy Town.
Yep.
But we will see you next time.
Take me to Sleepy Town.
On the Wine Vault. Good night.